He's been spending lots of time around the track. Kind of reminds me of my youth, but they were racehorses, not people. You can catch his work on the front page of the Register Guard sports section and their special track and field trial section online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how are you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. Now, I should have realized that when I let my picture get in the paper that somebody would use that for nefarious purposes. I see now on my Twitter promo that you guys post, you got the shot of me in my umpire gear with my mask. So, I guess I had that coming, though. I should have expected that.
Public domain. Two words. Talk to my lawyer. So, right. Did you say you were at a press conference? I mean, just is there anything that is breaking news or what would I just want to make sure that because you decided to join us now for an event, we didn't miss anything.
No big news today. I was at the press conference with Max Siegel, the CEO of USA Track and Field. You know, a lot of facts and figures that probably would put the audience to sleep if I went through all of them, but a couple nuggets about, the 2020 trials, whether they're going to be in Eugene. I think, certainly, Eugene's going to make a bid for it, and with the renovated Hayward Field, probably will have a strong case for that. So wouldn't be surprised if we're doing this all over again in 4 years based on what we heard today.
You know, I've asked a lot of people on this show the past week, people I've run into. We've seen, bodies washing ashore where they're going to hold the volleyball in Rio, suits needed to keep flesh-eating bacteria off athletes. If your bosses at the Register Guard said, we'd like you to cover the Summer Olympics in a couple weeks in Rio, what would you have a level of avoidance or enthusiasm?
Probably both. I think as a reporter, you always kind of want to go where the story is. So all the hype and hysteria about Rio, I'll admit it stirs a little curiosity in me that it would be kind of cool to be there and be able to document that. I guess I've kind of come to terms with the fact that I'm never going to be a war correspondent, never going to go overseas and cover armed conflict. So that's probably about as close as I would get. But that being said, there's definitely a part of me that is glad that I'm not going to be there because it does sound like it could be a pretty harrowing experience for the people who are.
We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. And so obviously you weren't here at the trials 4 years ago. I was there. It's quite the spectacle. And obviously the venue is spectacular. The weather's been amazing. So considering all the great events you have covered, what's been your impression the first, 5 days of covering these trials?
Well, it's been really cool. I don't think we've seen the signature performance yet, but we've seen some really good ones. I mean, English Gardner in the 100, that was pretty spectacular. We've also seen some pretty tough moments. Yesterday with Alicia Montano, that was as gut-wrenching to watch as about anything I've seen in sports, with her just, sobbing and wailing and walking that last 100 meters to the finish line. There's some great drama at this event. It's not necessarily a really easy thing to get into. That's kind of the story of track and field in general. The learning curve is pretty steep for anybody who's new coming into it.
Right.
But once you kind of get a feel for the storylines and the angles, it actually becomes really interesting, and there's some really really compelling drama.
Yeah, you mentioned that women's 800, kind of the Mary Slaney, Zola Budd moment, Alicia Montana. She actually, in the story you wrote, used the word farce to describe her pro career. So for those who missed it or maybe just heard about it, what actually happened? Was it coming around the last turn?
It was, yeah. It was a really tight race. The runners were all bunched up together. And I still don't know exactly what happened. I've watched the replay probably 30 times, and I can't tell you exactly what happened. But somehow Alicia Montano got tangled up with a couple other runners and just went down, head over heels, rolling on the track. And then, really slow to get up and then basically limp to the finish line. But, yeah, it was kind of like that Mary Slaney race. And it was really devastating for her, because she's 30 years old and people might remember she's the one a couple years ago who competed at the USA Championships when she was 7 months pregnant, ran the 800 7 months
right.
pregnant, which is just difficult for me to comprehend how somebody could do that. So she's been a really, you know, inspiring figure for a lot of people in track and field, and this was her last chance to make an Olympic team. She's in really good position, so it was just really heartbreaking for her. And it's hard to watch for me in the stands. I was, like, having a visceral reaction watching that. It was painful. It was agonizing.
I could imagine. You wrote about also, you just mentioned English Gardner, who, of course, is primarily known for her role as a co-star in the Nike Shout video. But when you incorporate the disappointment she went through in 2012 to crank out a personal best, you also talked about what her mom went through. Just a little more detail on what a terrific moment that was for her.
Yeah, if they want to grow the sport of track and field, if they want to attract new track and field fans, I think they need to introduce fans to English Gardner. She's awesome. This is the first time I've really been around her very much. I know people who have been around here longer than I have know English already, but this was the first time I've really talked to her at length. And she's got that star quality. She's got a lot of personality. And obviously, she's really, really fast. And you put that together, that's a pretty great package. So she's got an interesting backstory. In 2012, she ran in the trials as a sophomore at Oregon. Really felt like it was her time to shine. Ended up finishing seventh in the final, which there's no shame in that. But for her, at that time, was really devastating. And she'd gone through some things with her mom, who was sick with breast cancer when she was in high school. There was so much emotion invested in that moment for her in 2012. To not make the team was really devastating. And then to come back this year, to make the team, to win in the final, run a personal best, just a lot of things came together for her this weekend, and she's going to be in Rio. I would love to see her, become, achieve that level of notoriety that she deserves, because I think a lot of fans would really gravitate to her once they get to know her.
No, it's an awesome story. I want to get to yesterday, the piece on Alexi Pappas and her role. There's a movie premiering tonight in town called Track Town. Obviously, folks around here recognize her as a competitor. But what is she up to now, I guess, from an athletic point of view? And what was her role in this movie that was filmed here in Eugene?
Yeah. Alexi is a very interesting person. She has very, very diverse tastes and interests. She's obviously a world-class runner. She's going to compete for Greece in the Olympics. She's also a filmmaker, an actress. So, Alexi and her boyfriend made this film, and I've seen the film. It's interesting. It's definitely an independent film. I don't know what your tastes are in movies, Steve. But if you like the independent film scene, I think you'll enjoy this movie. It's probably a little too quirky for some people's taste. but it's a very quintessential Eugene movie. It's set in Eugene. It's filmed in Eugene. It's about a runner competing in the Olympic trials. So it's like the perfect movie to be premiering right now. So if you're interested in independent film, I guess it's sold out, but maybe you can talk your way in there tonight.
I'll get right on that. We're talking with Austin Mika, the Register guard. So let's get to a little NBA here. From what I understand, you've got a relative who lives in Oklahoma City, your brother. How is he describing the mood, and do you need to get on a plane to offer condolences?
I haven't checked in with him yet to see if they are burning Durant jerseys in the street or anything, but I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're all pretty devastated there. Even me, as kind of just a casual NBA fan, I'm kind of bummed out about it, frankly. It, to me, takes away some of the intrigue and some of the drama from the NBA. I really thought that Warriors-Thunder series had the potential to become a really good rivalry, You think back to the Knicks and the Pacers, or the Lakers and the Kings back in the day. Two teams in the same conference who would run into each other in the playoffs every year and have these really epic series. I felt like maybe that was starting to develop with those two teams, and now it's gone.
It's like I'm sorry,
yeah,
go ahead. I just wanted to ask a follow-up question. As a basketball fan, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are like, man, that could have been great. But are we naive to be surprised in any way?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it should never be a surprise in sports when athletes, you know, go to the best situation or take the most money or, you know, go to the team that wins. I mean, the surprise would have been, I guess, if Durant goes to, you know, Toronto or some team in the wilderness. But I don't know. I guess there's a part of me still that thought he would stay with Oklahoma City. The part I don't get is, you know, the idea that, well, if Durant wanted to win a ring, he had to go to Golden State. I mean, Oklahoma City was so close to winning that series. They were up 3-1. They choked. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They had Golden State on the ropes and choked. So the idea that they couldn't have won a ring next year with Durant, I don't get that. I think that Warriors Oklahoma City series could have been, you know, an epic series next year. It would have been great drama for the NBA. And now it's like, who in the Western Conference can really compete with Golden State? I don't really see anybody who can.
Well, if you check, one final thought, though, if you just go by the timeline, so the year Golden State won it all, and now all this season, you know, people talking about Steph Curry's little girl and Curry and Klay Thompson, you know, they're like fine young gentlemen from professional families, and Steve Kerr and Jerry West is involved, and it was a nice story. Have you ever seen a team do a kind of a 180, and is it me, or does it seem like everybody hates them now?
Yeah, it's amazing. In like the span of 1 year, they went from being the team everybody loved to being the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
How everybody feels about them now. They're like the evil empire. It is pretty amazing. But I don't think a lot of people are going to be rooting for the Warriors next year. I'm certainly not. And I think part of it is we've been through this season of the Warriors chasing history, you know, and trying to set the wins record. Nobody wants to do that again. You know, if next year is just all about can the Warriors win 74, that's not interesting to me. I'm done with that. I would like to see somebody challenge the Warriors. And that's why this is disappointing, because I thought Oklahoma City, if Durant had stayed, would have been the team to do that.
Now, this is a very odd situation. So tonight, more what's track and field doesn't end till Saturday, is it? So I guess I don't know how into field you are, but certainly a lot of track. You could follow Austin via the Register Guard, and obviously, like I mentioned online, his Twitter handle @AustinMeekRG. Austin, always appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Take it easy.